I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to the Dr. Supercoach podcast. You're on once again with Chizo. It is the end of the easiest of bye rounds. Round 13 is in the rearview mirror and the troubled waters are upon us. Round 14 and round 15, where we've got six teams sitting out each of those rounds. To talk about all the big questions and topics for post round 13 heading to round 14, it is Pistol, my friend. How are you going, champion?
Oh, this was the easy buy round and still my players didn't want to turn up for it. I was actually looking forward to this round for ages as someone who didn't get like Humphrey and Nevitt and Atkins and all those players that are good that I wanted to get. I was like, this is my time to shine. And then I just still fell 250 spots with a 2-1-1-4. So my team, which I have continually said is not very good, is dying a very slow, painful death, and I'm falling like 100 spots per week, which is just dramatic for no real reason, out to 2k nearly on the dot. So we'll see how far I fall in the next 2 weeks, but I'm certainly with skating by with 18 and not a player to spare, I can't imagine I'm going to be moving upwards. Chizo, how are you looking?
Well, I had a 2080, which I actually thought I was doing okay, and then for some reason I went into Sunday and was like, I'm looking sub 2100, and I was like, what? I did VC English into Dawson, which didn't really help. But say I missed out on like 30 points, I'm still barely getting over the 2100. Yeah. I fell to 1500s overall, down 400 spots. So I basically just scraped the top 1K and then have just started falling back. These injuries and suspensions and just... I'm at a point now where I can't decide whether I just blow all my trades to get a premium side as fast as possible, which I can do. I can finish my team in the next round, or I just sit tight, wait for the cash that is generating the background with the likes of, say, Johnson and Briggs and these guys, maybe make myself an extra 200-250k, and instead of being finished next week, I could be finished in 2 or 3 weeks' time and have Oliver instead, and whether, you know, he could make up the distance of not being in my team for three rounds. So it's an interesting dynamic to be in because, as always, Pistol, I plan for the buys. I've actually got 17 next week before trades this week of that's legitimately available players. So I'm totally chill when it comes to the buy planning, but it probably impacted me in round 12 and round 13. So I'm hoping this week and next week I can make up a little bit more ground depending on how my premiums perform.
I think you definitely
unfortunately
will.
They all suck. All my premiums are sucking. Like I haven't seen that many sub-tuds since like the first round when I just had rookies.
Yes. Well, look, we've got a big episode to talk about. And we thank our sponsors, Code Sports. So this podcast, as usual, powered by Code Sports. Chizo, before we jump into it, a couple more housekeeping. Do we have any patron signups, or should we jump into the Cancer Council?
No patron signups, so we'll jump over to Cancer Council.
Awesome. So Ben Doyle, thank you for your donation. 10 for Tex. So obviously referring to Texas 10 goals. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks for explaining it.
Damon Erceg says, donating for dumb things. I was going away for the weekend, so I sent my team on Thursday, knowing I wouldn't have time to make changes. Where were you going for the entirety of the weekend that you wouldn't be able to
Bro,
make
Bro, people have hobbies. People have friends. They're not just locked up in their basement recording about Supercoach every week.
Hobbies?
Come on.
Fast forward to Sunday night when I get off a plane. He was on the plane for like 3 days. Find my phone blown up with messages from my mates telling me that I had left Dacos on my bench. Stupid Monday list not getting announced until late, and me mindlessly looking for the green ticks. Cheers, lads. Why did they wait? That's that. Your friends should donate. I could donate for something else that starts with D. But yeah, look, they probably should have let you know. Given, I assume they knew you were going away on a plane for 3 days. So rough one. But thank you very much for your donation.
You understand how going away and not having reception works, hey? So he arrived back and got all the messages all at once that could have been from the Friday.
Potentially, but that's just, I don't understand.
Don't let logic ruin a good story, I understand. We've also got some winners for Prize League for the month of May, Pistol.
We do. We do have a couple of winners. All right, so May, first place. Start with number one. Sweep Squad. Zachary, that's Lathaz, 9,987 points.
Oh, yeah, make up for it now. Pretend you know who he is.
He is the number one player of May, so please reach out to JB for your prize. Second, which was, it was pretty much a two-horse race, G, so they smashed everyone else by over 100. The Orange Team, Vinny, congrats, 9,958 points in second place.
The better looking plunk.
The better looking plunk is what is going around behind the scenes. Ankle Bonners, Hayden, 9,842 points in third place. Please, guys, reach out to JB in Slack or on Patreon to claim your prizes. And we've got our lucky draw winners. We have the Dream Killers, Coach Michael, and also the Dirty Schneiches. Adam, please reach out to JB for your prizes. I keep saying JB because he's the one that has them in his possession to send out. So
we've given him a role now. Like he's got stuff to do other than talk in Slack. It's cool.
He's got
responsibilities and stuff. It's like, you know, when you're allowed out after the street lights are on and stuff like that, you feel like a big boy. You know, he's in charge of handing out merch. I feel really proud of him.
All right, not sure where you're going with that one, but I'll let you take it away to the next.
The final housekeeping that we've got. Yeah. The Doctor Supercoach Cup for 2023 kicks off in round 16. Now, round 16 begins at the end of June, so you do have to be part of Patreon, and it's only going to be 512 entrants. We could have made it a 1,000-person league, but it would have meant using round 15 as round one, which is not what we want to do with so many coaches affected. So from round 16 to round 24, we'll be running the competition. The first 512 people within our Patreon that follow the instructions and join the group will be added into the bracket. And unfortunately, that's just how many spots we've got this year. We filled 512 on the dot last year, Pistol. So I'm fairly confident we can do that again. So if you do want to be part of the cup, make sure to jump on board. I'll be posting the instructions relatively soon. Pistol, we'll jump into some Supercoach news. I guess the first thing that we should talk about this week is we probably didn't do a whole lot last week, and the week before in round 12 is not typically a huge downgrade option. We're facing ourselves trying to upgrade our teams in round 14, and we haven't really generated any cash over the last fortnight, and we're looking at basically a barren landscape in terms of downgrade options that we could be looking for this week. Do you have any initial thoughts on what you're planning on doing to try and get that cash going? Are there any rookies that take your fancy? You're downgrading someone. What's your initial plan?
My initial plan is to not make any trades. So
okay, so it's so barren that you're just like, even though I haven't banked cash over the last fortnight, I'm still sitting on my hands, hoping something turns up.
I am hoping something surprises me in the team sheets, but I think it's mostly the lack of trades is definitely something that worries me. I think what you really want out of a trade this week is to get numbers for next week. I imagine most people are in the boat where round 15 is a tougher buy for them than round 14. So any player you bring in now has the potential to be dropped next week, and that will just wreck me. So I'd rather not take a gamble and just make sure I get players knowing their names next week. But there are some players that you could get that will, not going to say definitely, but most likely be names like West Coast's Marek, who we spoke about on last week's pod. He won't be dropped given he kicked almost half their score. I know it was a low score, but he still kicked almost half his score. Not a great scorer, but you could probably, I'd feel pretty confident unless there's an injury over the bye, like we saw with the Irish Nick Dacos, who is injured and missing this week. There's, you know, that random risk, but he's somebody you could use to free up cash, but he doesn't play this week, Chizu. So it's not like super duper helpful. Is there anyone else that you would even slightly consider this week that's rookie priced?
Here's a tricky one for you. Steele has now mentioned that he's been carrying some knee soreness and he's confident that he should play this week.
Surprise, surprise, he's injured.
Yeah, the one thing that we expected him to be and were avoiding him for so long, only to get lulled into a false sense of security. If he is out, you would think that Bytel's a pretty like-for-like replacement. I'm just making sure he's not injured.
No, Bytel's meant to be available after his second week of concussion this week. So if he comes in, he's usually a pretty good scorer. But it's I like him, but I'm also scared that he's just out the following week. It just depends if Steele is out and they're fibbing to us, you know, how long that potential injury is for. But I like him a lot. So that would be someone I'd probably feel comfortable getting should Steele miss. Otherwise, Chizo, we're running dry here.
You're not going to have him for next week, but the two sub games that he played his first two games as, Josh Faye has just come off a, I was going to say 70, 54 after 7 and 17 as two sub-impacted games. If he's named against Frio, he's got defense mid status as well that might be helpful to kind of move some pieces around to try and field 18 around 15.
Yep.
Potentially.
It's getting the, I mean, I like him. Don't get me wrong. He's just not going to play in round 15. So if that suits you and you're playing for league, he's probably the go-to guy, I think, out of all of the options, but he's just not an option for many people. I mean, you're left like Sturt's not really scoring very well or making money and his potential to be dropped. You have Melikan who wasn't fantastic and is also his place is at risk. I mean, he'll probably get named this week, but
maybe you could take a 20 from him.
You could take it. I mean, he doesn't play next week as well, so it's not great. You got Harvey Harrison, who I would
doesn't play this week.
He doesn't play this week. I'd be surprised if he was dropped, but long term, you know, he's fighting for a spot that I don't think he wins the battle when Steele Sidebottom comes back. I think they do a bit of a rearrange and Degoe as well. So maybe Harrison lasts, you know, two weeks, which is maybe all you might need him for. Angus Sheldrick, I'm not sure he survives. Parker coming back. And then the lucky last option really here is Devon Robertson last week, Chizo. Scored 84 points and dropped in price to 186K.
What's his price? 186.
So that's because in round two when he was a sub, he scored zero. And in round four, when he was a sub, he scored -1.
He was a scub, okay.
He was, -1. So he had a two-game average of -0.5 and then pops out an 84 and drops in price. Look, he's always been a good scorer when he plays full games, and he smashes it in any second-tier league that he's played for in the past, what VFL. Just a big ball winner, good scorer, but I think he's on the trade table, Chizo, and I'm not sure they're going to invest a lot of time into him if they don't absolutely need to. And Zorko probably comes in for McCluggage, given McCluggage's concussion. So
yeah, true.
I think he might hold. And all you really need from him is two games, because he should score pretty well in those games. So he is expensive at 186, but if your problems are trades and not cash, is he better? Chizo, would you rather take the flyer on him, or would you rather pay 100K more and still grab Fife at 275K?
I would be grabbing Fife over Devrob. I think in this scenario, you're either going like way down to like the low hundreds, like a Marek, for example.
Yeah.
Which I think seems to be the obvious choice. I just feel like Devrob is too expensive for his complete lack of job security.
Yeah.
Like, yes, he's going to score well, but like, no, it just seems like a really bad way to invest 70K or what, 85 extra $1,000 that you could put into someone like Marek.
Yeah.
I think you said before there was a Sydney
yes,
mid-season recruit that did well you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, Jack Buller, the last pick of the mid-season draft, kicked 5 goals, 4 in a game that wasn't a smashing. It was, I think, 80-76, so it was a close game. He absolutely tore the VFL apart playing for the Swans team. After a game like that, he firmly has to be on the radar of the Swans team selectors. I don't know what the right word is there, Chizo, but he has to come in contention. I know Amadi was an emergency in the end, but so there's like a queue of talls, but Swans aren't getting it done really at the moment. They look pretty poor. I think you gotta change it up a little, and it might be Buller's time, you know, to shine.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he will have amazing scoring potential, but if he does get named, I might like him more than Marek. He will have worse job security, but he is also a big, big lad, and I imagine we'll get some ruck time. 199 centimeters is a chop out ruck, and that could lead to a bit more scoring potential. So I got my eye on him. I'm thinking or hoping that he's going to be named and gets to play this weekend, maybe next week, and he might be my solution to my problems.
Yeah. Just as a side note, what's your you watch most of the Sydney home games, and you have for the last couple of years since you moved to Sydney.
It's unfortunate. What's
happened to them this year? You had a great time last year.
Yeah, last year was fun. They were exciting, moved the ball really quickly, and this year they are struggling a lot. It's been one of my hottest takes the last couple of years. I don't like saying this out loud because I get a lot of opposing opinions on this. I don't think Horse is that good of a coach, Chizo. I don't think I have to whisper that into the microphone. He doesn't react.
That is ridiculous if you think that you haven't said that on the podcast at least a dozen times over the last 8 years.
He doesn't react very quickly to changes in the game, whether it's like actually in the game where, you know, you see like, obviously, as a columnist, well, I'm going to use McRae as an example because it's amazing. But like, Fly will make changes when something's not working. It'll be like,
on the fly.
Yeah, on the fly. Very good. He'll do things where you adjust and you're like, well, at least he's doing something. Like, at least he's trying to figure it out. I feel like Horse takes at least 3.5 quarters to make one change. And I'm like, well,
or just stubbornly sticks with something.
And even when Mills got that interview, he was like, oh yeah, like when the going's tough, like I put myself back. I'm like, okay. So I guess responsibility as a leader on the field to go and do that. But I'd like there to be more, I guess, just more a little bit in the coaching. And like, things were not working against Saints. They just played the same way for the entire game and then lost. And I'm like, okay, well, not really sure what they expected. But yeah, the skills, they should be a highly skilled team, and it's not quite working. The game's moved forward in a way in which it's very fast-paced, you know, scramble the ball forward at all costs. And Swans have a really good list for that. But unfortunately, some of their forward line players, without naming names, are old school forwards and maybe not as mobile as they used to be, and it makes this game plan suffer, really. I think it's time to swap around some key cogs of that forward line. And when Mills comes back, getting some extra people in that, I guess, good ball winners in that contest. I mean, they were really missing Parker. I think that might change things around for the Swans.
Yeah, cool. All right, a little bit of a.
I feel like you were delaying for like to try and see what happens with Sicily. It's just like he's just been deliberate.
Pistol. Well, let's move on to the next talking topic. We've talked about there's not many downgrade options in terms of rookies. What about some underpriced potential premiums? We have touched on Keys last week. He's gone up in price after another decent, although not totally the role that we wanted him to have. Is there anyone kind of shouting your name after some news that's come out this week?
Did you want to talk about Keys more?
I mean, not particularly. Like, I think we saw exactly what we expected, that his percentage of CBAs that he's going to get week in, week out is going to change.
He's
going to be fighting with the likes of Laird, Dawson. So they've been using Sloan this year, Soligo. Who else has been through there?
Pedler's the key because he keeps getting more.
Pedler's
and more
been in there
the last 5 weeks. Every week he's getting more CBAs.
Yeah, so what's Pedler gone? Hold on. So he's got 19, 25, 26, 22, 29. So he's got a pretty consistent role. And Keys has gone 0, 3, 15, 70, 75, 55. So that's the part that scares me. And like if we back it up a bit, he's gone 46, 6, 0, 63, 0, 3, 15, 70, 75. Like I just envisage a 3-run game where he goes less than 10 in every game.
It's hard because it's hard not to be results oriented, right? Because West Coast are a easy kill really at this point of the season, and he was pretty much always going to score well against them. So it's hard not to get the wrong lesson from it. 55% CBAs is probably,
which is good. The role is good, but it's not what it was the previous fortnight.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't the 70%, so you think he can maybe average 100. 55%, that's Walsh territory. See, he doesn't need to be as good as Walsh, but I mean, he's clearly not as good as Walsh, but is he going to average 90 in that? Maybe. And now you're paying 415K for him. And even at 370,
so he's
I'm not sure it's the 100% right move either. It just feels very risky to me. I think I like the role more of Himmelberg, Chiso, 374K. But he has the bye next week and Taylor will come back into that side. So they're going to get some defensive cogs back. And that will show us exactly what role he will have when they're fully fit. And that's kind of what I need to see. I don't like jumping on this week. One, because he's got the bye the following week.
Yeah.
And two, we're just not 100% sure on exactly. I know he'll play. They pretty much said he's going to play as a defender, but there's a variety of roles as a defender. You can play loose at the back of the pack. You can play lockdown. You can play intercepts. You know, I just want to see exactly what it's going to be, if he's going to get majority of kickouts and all that jazz first. I think he could be a fantastic, I guess, if you're desperate, 22nd primo or even better 23rd primo option to loop with someone like Sheasel, if you still have him. He could be one to get picking up after his bye.
Yeah.
I said the results oriented thing, Chiso, because it's important to, I guess, look at last week and reflect a little bit about Jay-Z and Chiso, in that Jay-Z's role. I mean, so as I was saying on the previous podcast, like small sample size, the role was pretty good. Did not expect him to take every single kick out basically this week, given he didn't take kickouts the previous week. Took two of them, put one on the full. That was unexpected. Maybe the small ground size at Tasmania had something to do with it. But at the end of the day, both Sheasel and Jay-Z both looked good. Their roles were both decent. And technically, if you weren't going to be copping donuts, which I think is the reason most of us wanted to trade one of them out, was we're worried about copping donuts next week. I know that's the big reason why I had to move one of them, is that in a perfect world, we wouldn't have actually had to move either.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess just some learnings for next season if it just lines up differently with the buys.
Well, let me ask you this, and I think it's important to be critical of our own our own thought processes
as
well. Do you think that as a collective we jumped at Shadows last week regarding Jay-Z's role? Because it became a little bit of an echo chamber of God, he's had three poor scores, but his role has only really been bad for definitely one, maybe two games. So it's like I feel like we got ahead of ourselves, and because we already needed an excuse, we wanted an excuse to get rid of him in terms of the round 15 buy. Like if I didn't have She's the Law, Jay-Z, it would make that buy a lot easier.
Yeah.
And so we confirmation biased ourselves into thinking like 1 week's worth of data versus the 11 that came before it, where everything was totally fine, regardless of the score, was like, okay, his role's changed. Hall has changed everything. We need to get Jay-Z out as soon as possible, or Sheasel out as soon as possible. And then his role, like to talk about his kick-ins over the last 5 weeks, for example, he had 9, 9, 6, 6, 2, 9. And the one where he had two kick-ins, it was like, oh, his role is so bad now, we need to get rid of him. And I just feel personally like in hindsight I could have definitely kept both him and Sheasel because I've planned for my buys quite well, but getting rid of one of them definitely made it better. Like I was going to have an extra premium as opposed to that being a rookie covering his score. And I probably could have sat on him rather than sidewaysing a premium. And I definitely sidewaysed him to a much worse option because I was only looking at round 12 options because I didn't have anyone. I couldn't pick around 14, obviously 15 or round 13 because it was the buy. So I'm choosing between Ryan, Sinclair and Lloyd. And the only one I could straight trade to was Lloyd. And so I picked up Lloyd as he'd become a winger.
Yeah, so he did play on the wing. Like, he scored like 50 points when Blakey went off.
Yeah. So overall, I have to put my hand up and say that that was a bad choice on my part and probably got a little bit of tunnel vision in making sure that I had the best side coming into round 15, because I know the way that I'm kind of viewing round 15 is it's my biggest option this year to make the most ground in 1 week, rather than chipping away 100 points here and there. The way that I've structured it could make up like 300 points in a round, because I'm going to have like 22 available, and a lot of them are going to be premiums. But yeah, I think I need to put my hand up and say that I probably felt myself jumping at Shadows in retrospect to that. What would you say?
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. I mean, from my personal perspective, which is obviously different than everyone else's, have their own individual perspective on it. But I like came into the podcast like obviously not wanting to trade Jay-Z. That's why I was arguing with JB about holding Jay-Z versus holding Sheasel, and I was like pretty pro trading Sheasel. And then throughout the week, you start thinking, oh, you know, that extra 50K that you can get over trading Sheasel, that sounds pretty good to me. And then, you start coming up with all these reasons. You're like, well, there's that 50K, and then it makes my buy easier. But it's not all confirmation bias, because I'm going to cop a donut next week pretty much anyway. Like regardless, I'm going to get 17 players. So it would have been 16 if I had Jay-Z. So that part's true regardless. Like that's not a bias. I genuinely was going to cop a zero. So it does benefit me to trade him. And I was deciding between Jay-Z and Sheasel. And I had traded out Sheasel for the whole week until Johnson scored really well. And then I thought, you know what? I might have.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The cash gen to get Oliver here, but I'm going to need an extra 50K, and then I made the switch. But
yeah,
it was, I think I would have done it anyway and traded to Jay-Z because everything I saw online everywhere was basically trade Jay-Z, trade Jay-Z, trade Jay-Z. And I think I just wouldn't have done it. Like, as much as I held firm until like the Saturday, I think in my back of my mind, I was just like, a minute before the game, no matter what, I was going to swap them around. And I wasn't going to be able to hold through with it, even though my gut was telling me, hold Jay-Z. Which is ironic because I did hold him in Dream Team, which is doing way better than my super coach. But it's interesting just to see, I guess, it's really hard to hold out when pretty much everywhere online and podcasts and everything is saying to trade him. It's pretty hard to go against the crowd in that time. But again, I think it's not just me in the boat where you genuinely would have copped a donut if you hadn't traded one of them. Like, I know you're in a pretty interesting situation where you could have held both. I don't think that's the norm. I think most people legitimately needed to trade one of them or they would have copped a donut. And then it was just... they just thought, okay, well, you get 50K more and it's as much as that. And to be completely fair to Sheasel, his role was pretty good too. You know, he was playing behind the ball very often in like a link-up role. Not the role I expected him to have, but the kid can just score. So I don't think anyone's upset really with trading one of them because both of the one you held scored well and looked good because they both looked good. I think the only people that are upset about it really are ones that could have got through the whole buys while holding both of them. But I just don't think there was many people in that situation. And they're the ones, I guess, they're the ones you probably, there's not many of them, probably need to reflect and be like, okay, like that maybe this is a lesson learned this particular time that the advice that we hear online isn't one advice fits all sorts of situation, and that when we say it's team dependent, it's truly, truly team dependent, advice. And you need to genuinely think if that applies to you like a little bit harder, because it's very hard to differentiate advice on a podcast. Like, it's just appealing to the masses, but everyone's teams are so different at this point.
Yeah. I think I probably got caught up with the rush of just charging towards the top 1K. Like, I was one premium ahead. I was one premium ahead. And I just saw it as like a perfect opportunity to have an extra premium than I otherwise would have for my plan for round 15. It's like, I was so tunnel vision on that I had no intention of trading Jack Siebel until I caught the talk about him in online circles and in Slack and the pod and everything like that. I had absolutely no dramas with it. Like, I was just going to hold him. And then when I saw the benefit of like not having another round 15 there, and like, yeah, I just, in hindsight, I need to put my hand up and say that was a bad choice on my behalf. So,
I mean, you probably saw that I'm copping a donut, for example, no matter what. And you're sitting there thinking, hey, I'm going to have an extra premium that round. I'm going to absolutely fly up in ranks. And that's probably pretty appealing.
Yeah. So I planned to have 15 premiums that round. I would have gone up to 16, which would have been huge compared to players like that have only got 15 or 16 playing. So, I just put it down to tunnel vision and looking at the upside and not analyzing it properly.
Definitely interesting.
One of the players that we have been looking for over the last couple of weeks as he comes back from a bit of an injury is Darcy Cameron. Second game in a row where he's had a good role, played really well, probably left some points on the table as well. He got stuck on the bench for a period of time And I've seen what I need to pass the eye test to be my F6 cover for the remainder of the year.
Absolutely. I got him for Jay-Z, but it was his, you know, he looks very good. It's a hard matchup against Gorn and Grundy, and he held his own. The role was good, and that's the most important thing. He was getting, you know, the majority of the ruck time, and to be honest, he got a head knock and was bleeding, so he got, you know, stuck on the bench with the blood rule. And then in the final, you know, 2 minutes when Collingwood was dominant in the middle with huge scaling on the line, he goes off for the blood rule again. So he's stuck on the bench for the rest of the game, and he misses out on this, you know, massive opportunity to be in the thick of it when the game's on the line. And just who knows, I mean, not saying Collingwood would have won the game, but Cameron could have got an extra 10 points and, you know, thick heavy scaling at the end of the game. Who knows?
Yeah, just like a dragon. Heavy scaling. If we're looking at the opening start to the, don't laugh at that, didn't worth it.
It's pretty funny.
The first two rounds of the year where they came in with the plan that Fly wants them to have, it was a 70-30 split average over the first 2 weeks. Right?
Yeah.
And then over the last 2 weeks since he's come back from injury, I mean, round 11 against the Pies, we can include that if you want, but it doesn't help with my numbers. The last 2 weeks are exactly 70% as well. So I feel like the split that Cox and Cameron are going to have going forward, he's going to be a 70% ruck contest type player. And, you know, this is the type of output that we should be expecting. It's something that I've said a few times over the course of the year that I don't expect him to be that three figures, you know, 100, 105 type forward that we have in other options in our forward line, sort of like I guess a Goulden or a Rosie or something like that. He's going to be a 95, high 90s type player, in my opinion, with the upside of having really good games when Collingwood go on a run as well. It's also important to mention that he's going to score well playing for the Pies if they're getting slightly more of the Pie as well. Jordan Ngoi comes back. It was unintentional, but you know, they get Jordan Ngoi back into the midfield. He's going to be getting. He's had a great year as a midfielder so far as well. So I still see some definite upside there for him.
It's the DPP for me.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't think. Like, we've had a few questions, particularly in our hashtag podcast questions pistol, that's like, I've got English and Marshall and Briggs. Like, if I can finish my team and I can just keep Briggs at R3, do I even bother with Darcy Cameron? I think that's a fair point.
Yeah, it is a fair point. But Cameron gives you that loopholing ability to loophole your F6, which could be Sheasel, for example, which I think, or Will Day via DPP, you know, swapping if you have another player, or Himmelberg. Potentially to do, you know, swapping around. I think I think he's a good option. I'm a little bit higher on him than you just in terms of average. I think he can go 100 flat. But it's that trades are running low and being able to cover my ruck sounds really good. And especially when some people, not me, have good bench cover with like, you know, Wardlaw or Fife or even Johnson's actually coming really good. When you've got those guys, if you've got this DPP swing from Darcy Cameron and you can, you know, basically throw players anywhere using the DPP and cover any injury, you know, across any line with your cover, teams will just, I feel like it will be, they're a lot more fortified from potential donuts later in the season. So I still like him for that DPP, but if you are, there is a case just holding Briggs and not needing to do the extra trade if you're flush with cover on your other lines anyway.
Yeah. I'll ask another question that kind of ties in with this. This is going to be the first year in history for Supercoach for me, or any limited trade format. And I realize we have more trades, so it's not exactly like for like. But I've never had 23 premiums, and I'll come out of the buys with 23. So I'm
never
really going to have never.
Even in that year, you came eighth?
No, I've had absolute spuds on my bench forever. Like to put it in perspective, I don't think I've had someone with the quality of Mitchell or even Atkins on my bench covering if something happened. Like the year that I went well, I literally had no bench cover for like the defensive bench cover for like the last 6 weeks.
Wow.
Like, for example. So the point you raise, Ree Briggs and Cameron and being out of loop, is actually a really good point, because Sheasel is going to be my 23rd that's covering, obviously, defensive forward. But when you have a ruck injury, for example, and you think Darcy Cameron covers, you're not actually bringing, like, he is covering your forward line, your ruck line, but he's not, like, you're not bringing in a spud to cover Cameron. So you're still bringing that extra premium on. And so that loophole statement that you made about constantly being able to use, like, if you don't need Sheasel that week, a Sheasel and Cameron loophole scenario is something that, like, I hadn't actually really anticipated until you pointed it out. I was more just like, hey, I've got a 23rd. I might just put him on the bench somewhere. That's actually a really good point. It makes me feel even more comfortable that I think that Cameron's a mid to high 90s than he is 100.
Yeah. I mean, that lets you cover every position on the field, essentially, if you've got that forward mid. Well, I mean, as long as you've got some DPPs across every line, Cameron essentially covers, can help, along with which other bench cover you have, you can cover every position on the field. So,
yeah,
I think it's a very valuable trade. But it's interesting this year, Chiesa, that feels like the first year that I can remember in a long time that people seemingly have more cash, like, available than trades.
Yeah.
Like, trades is a limiting factor, not cash.
Yeah.
Not for me. I'm the opposite, of course, because I've had no cash for the entire season. But people seemingly just, they can't cash out. Like, they're just going to have good options on their bench because they don't have the trades to get rid of them.
Yeah. I'm the same. I've got 14. So 2021, I finished with 14 mil as my finishing balance. I'm at 14 mil right now, and I'm still, like, upgrading my team. Like, there's every chance I could be like 14 and a half, somewhere near 15 mil by the time I'm finished. Like,
it's just inflation.
It's just inflation. I genuinely am in a scenario now where I could finish my team in 2 weeks, or I could wait, say, until round 18, and all my upgrades are bringing in, like, Oliver's, for example. Like, we had that kind of lull between, like, kind of 8 and 10 where we didn't have any, like, amazing rookies sort of that we jumped on. Or if you missed someone like a Weddle, you really kind of missed the boat in making some extra cash. I know you missed, like the likes of Atkins or something as well, Pistol. So
my team value, Chiesa, is 13.3 mil. So
yeah, so it's
that, to put in perspective, I'm 700,000 less than you.
I can afford a whole Oliver in there just by having picked up a couple of the rookies that at the time were like 50-50. Like, at the time, like, no one really thought they were going to make much money out of Atkins.
They made so much money, all of these guys.
Yeah, and, like, if you miss Briggs, for example, like, oh, he's a two-gamer, like, he probably doesn't have the greatest job security, and he's just going, like, ton, and he's going to be, like, bordering 500K if we keep him for another game after the bye. Like, it's sort of crazy. And so with all that cash sitting there, I feel almost obliged to just make no trades for a couple of weeks. So, like, my final upgrades, instead of being, like, a Walsh at M8, I can just save up and bring Oliver in. What are your thoughts on that whole dynamic in terms of people like me that do have the like of, like, I've got Weddle, Atkins, Johnson, Chincotta, Briggs, Ford, Mitchell.
Yeah, that's
still
that's a lot
still
of
to
cash
in.
A lot of cash.
Like, that's 8 potential cashing in. I've got 8 trades remaining. So it's like, I'm literally not going to have the trades to turn all these guys and make my team as good as it could be.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, that's, you're going to be left with someone good as cover. But in that case, again, team dependent. But I like to delay at this stage by a week sometimes, but especially given there's an extra round this year after the buys. I think if you can get a better player, you know, we still have 9 weeks after the buys. That's a long time. If you can get an extra player, you know, one less round where your players get injured, where you might need it, if it helps you save a trade, especially by just waiting a bit longer so you don't have to, like, scramble and do a downgrade, I think that's better. I think there's a lot of people that are doing, like, Roberts to Marek for, like, 40K, and I just think you're probably getting 30, 40 points. And at this stage of the season, I just don't necessarily think that's worth a trade. Like, I'd rather use that trade if I you know, as I said, like wait a week and get an Oliver instead of a Walsh. Like you'll make back 20 points a week rather than, you know, 40 points for Marek and, you know, for next week. I just think you've got to be really careful with how you utilize your last couple of trades. But I would, in your situation or anyone's situation, have a lot of cash. I'm not saying delay to like round 18. That's way too long. But there's a balance, and it's the race to the buyers and getting all the premiums in. That's when the buyers is the time where it's like the great equalizer. Anything really happens during these buy rounds, and it's only best 18. So you only need to have 18 plus premiums technically through these buys, and most people will be up to 19 or 20. And that's you won't lose many ranks. Like the scoring is much more bunched up. As long as you're coming out of the buys with a full premium side, so you can just wait, you know, 2 weeks, maybe even round 16, Chizo, and then steamroll all the way home with better premiums. I think that's probably the plan this year. And I think there'll be a lot of people that get Himmelberg going if the role looks good, and then having him as a 23rd premium and loop holding him every week with Shiz or Darcy Cameron, and they're the teams that are going to fly towards the end of the year. It's not going to be me, but they're the teams that will do.
You've been
really
saying
well
that a lot this podcast. I've got two quick ones before we get into the Sicily news that's coming out. So Fife, briefly, I think people are asking about whether he's still value. I think I would just wait a week and look at Himmelberg if I could.
I think so, but Fife plays through the buys and he scored really well. If you need somebody that's like, if you're going to get cop donut this week or donut next week, I think Fife is pretty good cover for the rest of the season as well. It's just injury prone.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Just make sure you can get him off field.
Yes.
For goodness sake. Like for very, very clear reasons, he's your like 23rd or 24th. He's not you're starting 22. Taron Thomas has averaged 100 since he's come back as a predominantly midfield role as opposed to the halfback that we've seen in previous years. What are your thoughts on him at just under 300?
Look, it looks really good, but he's got the bye coming up and LDU hasn't played and Simkin was out. I think there's just too many unknown variables. Wardlaw was clearly unbelievable because everyone's been speaking about all week, and you can't pull him out of the midfield. You're going to let him develop in there. So it's going to be LDU, Simkin, Wardlaw in the midfield. I think Taron Thomas takes a step back from his midfield time. It's probably fourth, fifth, sixth one in. Will Phillips will get in there too. So it's a pass from me, I think.
Cool. All right. So we do have news that Sicily has been banned for 3 weeks.
Okay.
Not sure if the Hawks have announced whether they're going to be appealing or whatnot. I have not read the rationale behind it or anything like that, but Sicily is now 649K.
That's a lot.
Deadwood on our bench for 4 consecutive weeks. I know we've just talked about kind of sticking fat and like probably not going hardcore with our trades and stuff like that, Pistol, but typically a 4-week injury or a 4-week suspension is ordinarily an auto trade.
Yeah.
But you've now got, I suppose we're another mitigating factor is like round 15, like he's someone that we expected to, you know, in your case, get us to 16 or 17 playing players, which is now, you know, dropping that to 15 or 16, which I think in those situations, your hands are tied. Do you have any initial thoughts now that we know that he's been banned?
Yeah. In an ideal world that I think many people are in that I'm not in, I'll say it again, Chizo for you. This is how I would see Sicily working. If you're going to go through the next 2 weeks and you're going to cop donuts this week and potentially next week, well, if you're going to cop more than one donut, it is a definite trade. I think if you cop just next week a singular donut, you can be on the fence whether it's a trade or not, and I'll explain why and what conditions that will be. And if you're not going to cop any donuts, you're kind of in a similar boat as the previous one, and I'll explain further why. And I guess they're the main options. And the explanation, Chizo, is if you have the extra cash, so you're not trade limited, but you're cash... Sorry, yeah, you're trade limited, but not cash limited, I would be using the extra trade instead of downgrading Sicily to somebody. I would be using that trade at the end of round 15 and bringing in somebody such as Himmelberg and getting them as my 23rd premium and then using them on field as my 23rd premium until Sicily's back. And yep. That's how I would navigate it. And if you have the cash to do that and not cop any donuts, do that option, I think, because Sicily's just, since Blanc's come into the side, he's just, Sicily's scoring is out of this world good.
Ridiculous. It's basically it's the like best 140. Player in the game. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's incredibly good. And then if you only have, if you're copping one donut, I think Sicily can make up the points over pretty much any other trade in.
Yeah.
As long as you can get that premium cover. I think where it becomes dicey is if you have someone like Fife as your cover. I don't know if Fife will score enough points for it to be worth holding Sicily. I think in that case, you probably err towards that's when you would probably trade.
Yeah. So we've just briefly touched on, like in the previous segment, Sicily. Sorry, that a lot of us are going to have like 23 genuine premiums in our team.
Yeah.
And I was discussing having Sheasel and Darcy Cameron like looping and stuff like that. You were there for that. I don't have to remind you. But in basically, if I'm picking up what you're putting down, is you're saying that someone in my situation could keep Sicily because he's just going to be the 23rd sitting on the bench anyway by the time I finish my team for a couple of weeks.
I think if you are, I think if you're cash rich, I think that's the play that I would do because otherwise you're trading Sicily. It's costing you an extra trade. I mean, it might not cost you an extra run because you could be downgrading to someone worse and freeing up 120K, which is a trade you didn't need to do to downgrade one of your rookies. And I can understand all that. But I think if you're getting the best, highest scoring potential team on paper, then it would cost you an extra trade. So, yes, in your situation, I think you just upgrade around it because you basically get the best player in the game back in 4 weeks' time. But if you're copping the donuts and you're not in a situation to get premium cover by the end of the buys. And that's the key thing. I'm not talking about getting Himmelberg in round 17. I'm talking about getting Himmelberg at the conclusion of round 15 so that you've got your cover and now you're not copping the donuts.
Yeah, because we can sort of like make do without him over the during the buy rounds is because it's best 18.
Yes, and as soon as it becomes not best 18, you pretty much want to have 21 or 22 premiums. Like you'll be behind the eight ball if you have 21 premiums.
Yeah.
So you're desperately targeting that. And Chizo, if you do trade him, what's your, I guess there's again, it's no team specific, but if you have all eight premium midfielders already, is it worth trading Sicily to a defender?
So we're not picking – so it's round 12 or round 13 defenders that you can pick from.
Yeah.
That basically leaves us with Stewart or Sinclair.
Yep.
In that order. And then after that, you've sort of got maybe Luke Ryan, who's fallen off the face of a cliff and become an 85 average defender out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's the new game style.
Which has also corresponded with Frio being good again. So literally, as you used to mention, you were saying that like he's benefiting from Frio's game style being pretty poor. So the argument would be that he's not going to have an uptick. So I don't really want to buy into Luke Ryan.
Yep.
And then what's after Luke Ryan? Jake Lloyd, who's now a winger and relying on people getting decapitated to get his seagull rollback. So I'd almost make the argument that get Stewart if you don't have him, and if you don't have Stewart, you can kind of see an argument for Sinclair, but at his price, I'd probably be looking at a midfielder for that sort of money.
If Steele is out, Sinclair is probably going to get more midfield time, which is a disaster as well. So if you have both of them like me, it's just...
is Sinclair actually like terrible as a midfielder? Like
he's not good. He's fine for the team, but he's not good for Supercoach.
Yeah. Oh, he scored well because he only had 28% this week.
Yeah. And the more that he gets, generally the worse he scores. So
yeah, sure.
I think it's just not, there's no defenders that are worth it. If you're only getting value out of it, well, not even value, but you're getting the points value out of it by trading to somebody like Sarong or Brayshaw or Neil. They're the only like three guys. And if you have all three, it's not even worth trading to like an Anderson or anything like that. There's not even forwards. Assumingly, everyone has Dunkley. There's no one that's really good value to get. Like Jeremy Cameron, you're not getting the points out of it. It's just unfortunate. In that case, if you can get away, hold one more week and you could trade him to Oliver potentially. I think that's another good play. And it might open up some other options like a Darcy Cameron, as we were talking about before. And definitely opens up some backline options as well that you might not have. But yeah, dire. It's pretty a dire situation for Sicily owners, which is many people.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
It's not good.
Hawthorne got pumped without him the other week as well. So I'm not looking forward to having to sit through those Hawthorn matches with my wife over the next couple of weeks.
Who they play in round 15? They play the Suns. Oh, so there's not even a captaincy option we can jump on. Maybe Matty Rowell for whoever's got him. Carlton the week after that. We don't even have captaincy options. then we got GWS. We might actually see three figures from Tom Green for the first time in 60 months. Yeah. Interesting. It throws a cat amongst the pigeons for Sicily for me, so I'm going to have another think about it. But it makes me a little bit more happy that I got rid of Jay-Z because...
because you would have probably copped a donut having two premiums out.
I wouldn't have copped a donut. Like, with Sicily out, that leaves me with 16 genuine playing next week before trades this week. So it's pretty easy coverage with 2 weeks to prepare for it, so or up to six trades, for example. So, interesting. Pistol, that pretty much wraps up the podcast, mate. Just want to say thanks for sitting down and talking round 13 and going through all the Sicily news and the permutations there as well. Guys, thanks for listening wherever you are listening, whether you're listening on the way to work in the car or you're sitting like AK in the back of a boat on the way to Hawaii. We appreciate our fans all the way around the globe. Guys, if you want to find us on Twitter, you can find the main page at @doctor_sc. At @Chizo_DRSC is where you'll find me. At @Pistol_DRSC for Pistol and at @JB_DRSC for JB, the great man himself. You can also support us by jumping over to the merch store, picking up some threads, checking out the YouTube channel. There's videos coming up every week. It's mostly JB's awesome content for his captaincy stuff. You can check out our articles on Code that come out every week in the midweek as well. We're looking for one tomorrow as well. And basically anything else that you want to check out that's part of us, you'll find the links in the show notes as well. So thanks, guys. We'll catch you all in the next episode of the Dr. Supercoach Podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.